You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, country, if I really need a word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more. But blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. Hi, I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and you are listening to the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We are really glad to be with you tonight, and for some reason, I'm really in an upbeat mood, and I don't know that I should be. I mean, we're on the precipice of World War III. We're on the precipice of having a witch rule over our Judaic Christian nation. I mean, there's so much to just downright sit down and just break out into tears about, but I'm in a great mood, maybe because I know we're going to have a great show. Let me tell you about it in this first hour. In the Hagman and Hodges News Report Hour, we're going to have both Doug and Joe joining yours truly. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by someone who I just met not too long ago. Man, is he knowledgeable about current events. I was on his show, and he is terrific. His name is Eric Ajewski, and I'm so pleased to be able to introduce him to everybody. And in the third hour, we're going to walk down the Agenda 21 aisle with the war and the election. It's easy to lose sight of all this other stuff, and Debbie's going to kind of talk about the Agenda 21 overlay, and it is going at breakneck speed. So we got a really, really good show for you. Before we get started, let me tell you who helps make this possible. My friend Steve Quayle, who will be on the Sunday prior to the election. He'll be with us for a two-hour special broadcast. But anyway, Steve owns Renaissance Precious Metals, and I'm not going to have to say this much longer, because it'll be a done deal. You better be converting your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, and you don't have much time. In fact, I think tomorrow you might want to put a little red letter there on the calendar and circle it and call Steve, and he'll hook you up. No pressure. He'll tell you if he can't help you. And I'll tell you, I know he's helped me, and I got peace of mind that should I get through what's coming, I'll have some assets on the other side that I won't be starting out at ground zero. Anyway, Steve's number, 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. For all your prepping needs, my good friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com is the guy to get a hold of. You need night vision, you need water filtration, you need anything that you need to get through what's coming, I strongly, strongly recommend that you get a hold of Bob. First of all, after the show, go up to his website, see what he has. I mean, and really count on being there for a while. He's got so much. ReadyMadeResources.com, and then give him a call. 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. Well, boy, with the fuel tankers headed to the Middle East, Montana restricting airspace in a test yesterday to see how quickly they can clear airspace to launch. And when the war starts, folks, and it's going to take a divine intervention from the Lord above for it not to happen, but when the war starts, where are you going to get your food? Because ain't nothing going to be shipped. Your just-in-time deliveries are going to be over. You need to jump on this now. And I'm talking about food storage, and I'm talking about Numana Foods, who I'm very, very proud to be associated with. Go to the website, numana.com/Hodges. Look at the great available product line, and should you have to bug out, my favorite is the grab-and-go bucket. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges. And while we're talking about food, one last item. And the one last item is this. You can get your food, you can get your water, and I had a lady write to me about this today, but Dave, where do I get my medicines? And I said, well, if you live in the Southwest, you can cross the border and sneak them across, take old pill bottles and put new pills in, and, you know, the Mexicans will sell it to you for cheap. And it's pretty good stuff. I'm not going to admit to whether I've ever done that, but I'm telling you, it's a good way to do it. But if that's not practical for you, you need to go natural, and you need to call Health Masters. Actually, get on their website. You'll have everything you need. They'll talk about if you have this condition, you would benefit from taking this kind of supplement and product, because you're not going to be able to store up your scripts. Your doctor's not going to be waiting for you to show up when all hell breaks loose. So go to healthmasters.com, and for a short time only, Dr. Ted Brower is giving a discount to Common Sense Show listeners. He's offering 5% off. All you have to do in the coupon code is put Dave5, Dave in the number 5, and you'll get 5% off. Well, that kind of cleans things up. We have one more product we're going to talk about during the course of the hour, and it's associated with Doug Hagman, and we're going to have him talk about his book when he comes on, and we'll pick the right spot to do that. But there is so much to cover. We are now commercial-free to the end of the hour. Not a whole lot of shows you can say do that. So join me in welcoming Doug and Joe Hagman, who's an unexpected guest tonight, and we're so pleased to have both of them. Two for the price of one, and man, hold on to your hats, because there is so much to talk about. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having both of us. And, yeah, it was rather serendipitous. We were doing some things here in the studio together, so it worked out well. Now, you were saying, as you were coming on, that you're in a kind of a good mood. I happen to see the movie My Cousin Vinny. It was on and I today, and the judge looked at Joe Pesci, and in response to something he said, the judge, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but
I did.
He just looked at him and said, "You want drugs?" And so, you want drugs, number one, and number two, but by the time the hour's over, perhaps we can adjust your attitude some. But really, and honestly, though, it's good that you're in a great mood or a good mood, because frankly, we know how the story ends. We do win in the end, but it's gonna be bouncy there for a little bit, to be sure.
Yes, there it is. It's going to be very, very bouncy, and that's putting it nicely. There are going to be a lot of us, if this is carried out without divine intervention, who aren't going to make it to the other side. And I know that you guys are making it your mission or one of your missions, and I am, and I know a lot of other people are. We're trying to prepare people with knowledge they need, that when the proverbial poop hits the fan, that you got your best chance to survive. There's no substitute for right place, right time, and there's no curse like wrong place, wrong time, guys. But people need to pay attention. Now's the time to prepare. Actually, a month ago was the time to prepare, but I think we got a little window here. Doug and Joe, let me ask you a question. When the fuel tankers go to the Middle East, and that's certainly a preliminary move for war, because they'll be fueling the bombers in mid-flight, how long do we have?
Well, I think history tells us that story. In fact, I got an email from Steve Quayle just about that, and it's really a countdown, 30 days maybe. At least historically, when you look at World War II, you look at some of the other conflicts, including Korea. Yeah, I mean, the prepositioning of fuel tankers or fuel refuelers is an ominous sign, to be sure. And, you know, I mean, what are they doing, Dave? And you're on top of this, certainly. You're on top of this as well. But truly, you're looking at certain things here, and Joe and I have been researching this. The proxy fight that is taking place between the United States and Russia is about to be unproxied. Turkey just came out and said this proxy war, if it continues, and it will America and Russia will come to a point of war directly. And that was stated by the Turkish deputy prime minister here this past week, saying that the U.S. and Russia will be facing direct conflict. And I think they're right. And we've been saying this all along, because, you know, that's what Benghazi was all about, the repower or the restructuring of the Middle East, you know, taking down all of the countries up to an Libya and Egypt. Egypt didn't work out so well, but Libya, and then using Libya as a staging ground for supplying ISIS and anti-Assad terrorists up in Syria by way of Turkey and other countries, Jordan, and all the countries surrounding Israel as well. So what we're seeing here is really the line in the sand in Syria that is, they're running out of, you know, frankly, they're running out of places to bomb. They're running out of proxy groups to use. They're running out of people to hide behind. And I say they, I'm talking about the bankers and the NATO people here, in the West, and also the Russian, proxies for Russia, as well. So yeah, I mean, we're looking at going toe to toe with Russia, and China wouldn't be far behind either, because China's got a lot of economic interest in Syria as well. But certainly Russia would be the key here in this. And you know what, Dave? You reported on this, and we follow your website every day. Yeah, I mean, you've been reporting on this here over the last, really over the last 6 months, or in earnest over the last 3 months anyway. We don't have much time, do we? I mean, from your point of view.
This could go any number of ways, but if we look at short fuse, bad case scenario, I mean, this is going to happen before the election, and if it does, I think it was intended. I am of the opinion, and this is going to seem like a digression, but it locks right into this. I'm of the opinion that if the globalists think that they can't get Hillary Clinton to fruition, in other words, get her elected and at least get the ball rolling for war with her at the helm, they got to somehow take her down or take down the election. And I think, you know, look, I've written about this. Paul Ryan. And people don't want to accept this, Doug. It's amazing to me. The man filed paperwork on January the 30th of this year to run for president. Hello?
I am. Yep.
He didn't even participate in the primary. This is their plan B. And this has been their plan B all along. His aide released the locker room tapes of Trump. Trump has finally realized it. It's about darn time. And he spoke about it. And he didn't say directly, but he said he's behind what's happening to me, and everyone knows what that means. They're going to take down the election, Doug, and I think the war is going to be one way that they do it. If not, maybe they take out both candidates. You know, I've heard about this.
You have. And one thing that sticks in my mind here is, regardless of who wins or how this plays out, ultimately, and I truly believe this to be the case, ultimately what they will do, the powers, what they will do, is cast doubt on the legitimacy of the elections. And I would say that if Donald Trump does win both the electoral and the popular vote, it would be such a problem that they would have to somehow put a stop to his inauguration if they can't take him out. And I don't think they want to take him out. Necessarily take him out literally. Okay. However, I can see them casting doubt on the legitimacy of the elections by saying, "Hey, Russia was involved heavily in this." Now, Anne Barnhart. We've had Anne Barnhart on the show. She's a columnist. And, she wrote something here recently in a column stating that Trump is the spoiler, so to speak, and this whole thing is just nothing but political theater. And the reason I brought this up, not that I agree with her at all, but a lot of people now are kind of gravitating toward that that thought that, hey, maybe Trump, given his past, given all of the people that he's associated with in the past, the friends of Hillary, the friends of Bill, you know, could he be nothing more than the enabler for Hillary to get in? Now, again, I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's an interesting perspective to kind of throw into the mix. But regardless, excuse me, I do believe that we're looking at the first time in history where our elections, if Trump does win, they will cast doubt on the legitimacy of his win. And if Hillary wins, sliding, of course, and then it goes into overdrive to where a full communistic one world order. That's just my view. And
couldn't
Joe,
I
just want to say I do believe at this point I don't want to sound fatalistic or defeatist, but I think the writing is on the wall for a Hillary win here. I think that there's a lot of telegraphing of a Hillary win. Whether that's just a psyop, I don't know. I really don't know. But my goodness, Dave, I went through 28,000 emails over the last 4 days. That's a lot of emails, all right? And they're coming out now from WikiLeaks at about 1,000 a clip, 1,000 a day.
Right.
The stuff that's in here shows, it exposes such a network of criminal corruption. I don't understand how anybody can look at this, and especially the FBI, can look at this and say, you know something? We really can't fight intent here. There's intent every second or third email. There's an intent of deceit, criminality, and personal enrichment, not just by the Clintons, but by Republicans, by conservatives. It's just crazy.
And speaking to that intent, just want to jump in. Even one of the emails talks about how Hillary Clinton is the one who was personally deleting email messages from the server, and the aides were talking about it in a string of emails. And I mean, but I think you're right. It doesn't matter what comes out; it's being pushed under the rug, and will continue to be.
And you know what though? And here's what makes me happy. I guess here's why I can be in a good mood. It's kind of rubbing off on me now, because I look at what we are doing, you and I, and Joe, through this what would you call it? Just kind of pulling forces together and exposing this. And if more people, and I really believe this, if more of us would do this, get together and really become a force multiplier in getting the truth out there, my goodness, we could really change things. That's why, you know, I certainly don't want to sound fatalistic or sound defeatist, but I just want to be realistic, because these globalists have such a grasp on the power structure here in the inside baseball, inside the beltway. It's just incredible. But again, I'm encouraged because we're coming out, we're swinging. Oh, and by the way, one more thing. Dave, I got to turn myself in. I mentioned I went through 28,000 plus emails over the last 4 days. CNN came out and explicitly said, unless it's a member of the established media, it's against the law to possess or to go through the emails. So I'm officially turning myself into you. You can feel free to make a citizen's arrest or turn me over to...
I have to arrest myself.
Well, there you go. But anyway, yeah.
You guys have been in business so much longer than me, it's not even funny, but I've been writing. I started with Freedom's Phoenix, went to News with Views, and then kind of landed on my own page. And I've been writing for, 12, 13 years now. And I've been broadcasting now 10 years. And, one year in public radio and going on 9 years now in what I do here. And I'm established. You're more established than me. So what the hell do they mean by the established media? People know who I am. They know what I'm about. They know the same thing about you and Steve and Alex and all of us. We're all established.
Well,
what do they mean by the word established? Do we have to go get in line and take a test and become a member of the established media?
We have to have a CNN butterfly, a tramp stamp, with CNN or ABC, NBC, CBS.
See, what this is them, they are just trying to push the regular people out there who don't do, tons of research and look into these allegations and things like WikiLeaks. They're trying to keep those people from looking at them. If you think of what they said, CNN said, it is illegal to view these emails, but we are the media and we will bring you, you know, what's in them and why it's important. What they're basically saying is those of you stupid enough to continue to just listen to us, make sure you don't look at the emails and come to us for the answer. And they were just, reiterating that.
Yeah. What's interesting, guys, is what CNN is saying is that we're part of the government. We have a security clearance, and you and the Hagmans and Hodges and all the rest of you don't, so you're not allowed to look at this. So they're admitting right there they're a government mouthpiece. We know Amber Lyon said that, because I just put this in a podcast today, Amber Lyon said very clearly that the CIA pay CNN to run stories and not run stories. So there we have it. They admit they're part of the government, and they must have a security clearance to look at WikiLeaks.
You know, back in the 1970s, it was admitted that every major network, and back then, of course, that was before the consolidation of the media, but every major network and every major print organization, you know, from the Washington Post to the you name it, to Time Magazine, all had a CIA infiltration. They're all infiltrated by the CIA, which of course is against their charter, you know. But nonetheless, that's so all of the, you know, what we're seeing here.
Anderson Cooper is a good example.
Yeah, there you go.
He never went to college for journalism. He was on the CIA's payroll for a few years and then went right to CNN from there. And I mean, he was directly tied to the CIA. And there's a project, I can't come up with the name right now, where they planned on doing this, you know, for a long time, to use federal people and personnel to go into these different media organizations. And another thing that's been interesting about the emails, the Podesta and other emails that are leaked by WikiLeaks, they show the relations between the media and the Clinton campaign.
Very
and how
much.
The Clinton campaign even took reporters, singled them out and said, you know, go to this reporter and take these talking points. They gave the talking points to the one email I'm referring to, gave them to the State Department. The State Department used her talking points and her authors with the AP to spin the story the way they wanted it to about where the emails went. And that just shows the level of the collusion between the media and the Clinton campaign.
And if I could jump in here real quick, you know, it was the Thursday speech by Donald Trump in West Palm Beach, I believe, is the equivalent to Kennedy's secret society speech. What Joe just said about the relationship with the media, Donald Trump on Thursday, what he did was he painted a picture of global conspiracy of establishment figures who are hell-bent on first of all, derailing his campaign. He was of course, attacked by a wave of stories about his past, inappropriate sexual behavior. I mean, for crying out loud, really? What about William Jefferson Clinton? But, you know, that aside. But he also got into the root of the political establishment and how they lie. He said this. He said, there's nothing that the political establishment will not do. There's no lie that they won't tell to hold their prestige and power at your expense. And that's what's been happening. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for one reason only, and that's to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake in this election, and that's exactly, I mean, and Trump laid out this series of elaborate connections between political, corporate, and media elites, whose vast conspiracy he claimed, including shipping jobs overseas at the expense of American workers and using stories of his past sexual misconduct to stop him from winning, to prevent him from winning the presidency and robbing them of their power. And lastly, he said this. He said, it is a global power structure that's responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class, the middle class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put money in the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities. Thank God he said that, but in saying that, Dave, I truly believe this. I mean, this was his Kennedy secret speech moment that that really laid it all out for people to hear and understand. And I think that that speech is going to go down, in my view, as the most important speech of his candidacy.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying there. I'm just glad you didn't compare it to the American University speech, where I think that's what got Kennedy killed. But you know, American University in May of 1963. But another story for another time. Well, in a little while after the show, I'm actually going to be, speaking of the media, I'm actually going to be publishing something, and you guys will not believe your eyes, and I think a lot of people in the audience will be surprised as well. I came across statements by the Wall Street Journal in which they condemned the media bias. They condemned the one-sided attack on Donald Trump for the locker room talk, but totally ignore the Clintons. And they blew the lid off. And the Wall Street Journal is an establishment media outlet. They're allowed to look at WikiLeaks, even if we're not. And they're attacking their own. Have you guys heard of this? And what do you make of this?
Joe did work on that.
I have not read the article. I saw the headline. But, you know, we've seen, I see the New York Post calling out Hillary a lot, and the Wall Street Journal, and you're going to have to let me know, was it a front page main article? Was it something that they just threw on the internet?
It was online. I couldn't tell you how it appeared in print, in their print media. I didn't see it.
Okay, because I know what. Yeah, one thing that Joe's done is looked for the alternative bias. But what happens is, generally speaking, these are either online or editorials that are stated as such. They're opinion pieces, as opposed to the fact pieces that make it to the front page, or you know, the front financial page, or the front political page. So it's rather interesting, and that's why I said that Joe's looking at this because of the obvious media bias. But then there are a couple of people who are trying to break through, and I think you know, Michael Hastings at one point as a journalist. Well, I think that's what got him killed. So it's good, you know. Maybe there's a pull out or a pull out on anyone writing commentary such as this.
I have to tell you, I looked at this two ways, guys. I looked at this story as either somebody or a couple of people, certainly an editor, had to approve of this going up, much less the author. So is this reflective of a change in people's hearts who are as scared of a Clinton presidency as most of us are? Or is this a plant from the mainstream media to say, see, we are fair. There is some fair and balanced coverage. Look at the Wall Street Journal calling out Clinton and the biased media coverage. What do you think?
Well, I doubt anybody. I mean, I'd be surprised, really, if we saw a change of heart to that degree. And just in talking with people, it seems that those who plan on voting for Hillary there's nothing that's going to change their mind. And
hey, but this is all buttery stuff.
You got to ask the question, you know, how many true independents are really out there on the fence about this election? And then, you know, we have been looking at online polls at the attendance of the different candidates' rallies, some of the trends on the Google search, the analytics about, you know, how much Hillary is being searched for, how much Donald Trump is being searched for, the live stream views for his and her speeches on YouTube. And it is just overwhelmingly, Trump takes all of those. The only thing that, you know, the only polls that we see him not winning are the polls that are being done by the more mainstream news outlets that are oversampling Democrats, you know, almost 2-1 versus Republicans and independents.
True.
And that brings up an interesting question about the popular vote versus the Electoral College. And the more I look at this, the more I do believe that what George Soros said could really happen, that we could see a landslide victory in the popular vote for Donald Trump, but Hillary Clinton can still win the Electoral College.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, and as I was saying before, I think the fix is in on the Electoral College. I think that that's what's really taking place. I think that we're looking at a win for Clinton. And I think, you know what, she, to me, she knows this. She knows something. Well, look at her and look at the people around her. Look how they're acting. To me, it's almost like she's picking out the drapes and carpeting already for the, you know, for the residents. That's just what I'm seeing. Now, if that's the case and you've got that Soros, influence there, and don't forget Soros owns machines in 16 states, the Diebold machines in 16 states. You've also have some leverage there. It's not who votes, but who counts the votes. But regardless, I think you're absolutely correct. The electoral versus the popular vote, it could be a really nasty difference. And Dave, let me ask you a question. If that was the case, and I was kind of really thinking about this earlier today. Let's say the popular vote is so outrageously over the top for Trump, yet Clinton wins the Electoral College and thus the presidency. Do you think there's going to be any blowback among the populace in this country, as there would be if it was reversed?
I've thought about that a lot. And to Todd, let's see if we can't boost Doug's signals, breaking up just a little bit there. Doug, I go back and forth on this. My initial gut reaction is we're a nation of sheep, and we like to scream and yell and point fingers, but when it comes to actually doing something, we are largely what my friend Ernie Hancock calls a bunch of slacktivists. People pretend to be activists, but really slack. To get out into the street with your pitchforks and not back down in the face of, you know, water cannons and heaters from those satellite dishes on the back of trucks, that takes a real man. That takes a strong woman. And I don't know that we have what it takes, guys. I don't. Now, if you ask me this question going back to my youth, I'd say, hell yeah, there's going to be a revolution. I just don't know. At some point, you think self-preservation would kick in and people would realize, you know, they're clearly going to carry out the mandates that people like the Hagmans and Hodges have been talking about for a long time. And we better darn well take care of it now. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Personally, I think there would be a lot of outcry, but we would. I don't think there would be anything consequential. That's just my view. What recourse do law-abiding citizens have? The conservatives, especially the Christian conservatives, and I'll say this too, it was said, and I have no way to verify this, that upwards of 20 million people who identify as evangelical Christians did not vote or wasted their vote the last election in 2012. If that happens again, and God forbid, I can see this election going to Clinton, but generally speaking, the conservatives among us, and especially the Christian conservatives, are not one to start the fight. We're not Occupy Wall Street. We're not Black Lives Matter. We're not groups that are going to go out and burn down and loot things because things don't go our way. However, having said that, we're in a whole different chartered area. I mean, we're on uncharted waters today, I think. So, for me to rule something like that out, I don't know. And what about the military? Might they have a say in this, unofficially?
I'll go back to what I was told in Benghazi, and I was fortunate enough to have been selected by an insider source to break the Benghazi coup. Unfortunately, the coup was broken up by the number two in commands, who were both CIA, because both these men were going to go against Panetta's orders, ultimately Obama's orders, and rescue Stevens for the express purpose of letting him know he was set up to die and hoping he'd sing like a canary about the Obama administration and bring down the Obama administration. And you remember, the military wants him out. the longtime leaders, they have seen 300 of their compadres hit the road because of Obama. So let's take a look at what I was told then, Doug. When the coup with Obama and Panetta failed, I asked, why don't you just reorganize and do it again? And the answer that I was given, and I've had this repeated in another from another source, unrelated to the first source, was that any revolution requires the participation and support, the popular support of the people, which is why we couldn't win in Vietnam. We had to commit absolute genocide. And they said that they don't feel a coup will do any good at this point in time because too many people are still asleep. I asked the coup question again as I think 2 weeks ago I asked the coup question. And I got the same answer, although more people are waking up. Because I said, guys, look, everyone who's in the independent media, their web traffic, their show listenership is up significantly. Doesn't that tell you that the people will support you? And I was told, not enough. So the media the military doesn't feel they're going to be supported in this. And here's the thing, guys, and this kind of brings us back to the war. You know, I got contacted by a colonel through one of my inside sources who's stationed in Alaska. I might have said too much. But anyway, what he told me, he said, Dave, you wrote an article almost 4 years ago, and you detailed how Obama was setting up Alaska to be overrun quickly, and there's Russian troops inside the country, no F-22 overflights, no F-16 overflights, submarines have basically been taken down except for a few patrols here and there. Please run it again. Here's a couple of updates. I did that the night before I was contacted about the fuel tanker situation in the Middle East, about the restricted Montana airspace in preparation for launching nuclear weapons. I know now why I was asked to rewrite that story. The military knows, guys, they're being set up. They're being marched to the slaughter. Make no mistake about it, our military is being set up by this administration to fail miserably and have mass casualties.
Wow. Well, then wouldn't that... when you think about that, wouldn't that be more of a motivation then for them to act proactively as opposed to wait? You know,
yes.
And it's still
yes,
going
I
on
agree.
In the military now.
I agree. There's. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, the from what I read from, you know, the issues that they're letting in, the Pentagon released a new handbook on getting a sex change in the Navy. If I remember correctly, I believe it was the Navy, and you see just, well, you don't see it in the press, but there is soldiers, people all over the place that are just dumbfounded about what they're seeing during this election cycle from, you know, what the Obama administration has been doing, how they've been, as you talked about earlier, how the military has been gutted to these different offensive to talk of war. The people don't want to fight another war, and the soldiers don't want to fight another war. And we have sources inside the military, active and non-active duty, and you know they're basically all saying the same thing, that we need to prepare ourselves for the thought of war. But what we're seeing now is a this PR campaign to demonize Russia.
Oh, and
further demonize Russia to make Trump and Russia collusion look like it's something that's been ongoing, and that he's some sort of Russian
foreign agent. Yeah, foreign agent. You're right.
So, you know, I think a lot will be seen with the actions the two countries take, more so than the rhetoric that they're using now. And but the military is definitely changing, and people are concerned that there is a lot going on behind the scenes. From cyber attacks to, you know, full frontal military assaults in Syria and whatnot. And Obama's thinking and meeting with the different members of military and intelligence communities about launching a strike against Syria without the congressional approval, which I think they reserve that. This all goes back to a PR war that we see in America over this election.
Amen to that. It's all perception over, well, it's substance, but it's perception of that substance. And by the way, I just want to give you a kudos. article on your website came up as the first hit on Google and all across this, all across the search engine. So you're making a big difference, a huge difference in the Common Sense Show. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, I have to say that I don't even look at it as making a difference. I look at it as making a difference in my sleep patterns. And I'm not saying that lightly either. This is stuff that when it crosses my desk, I don't ask for this. You know, let me be honest here. I've said this a couple of times in the last month. I'd love to go back to coaching college basketball. Although right now I think I'm too much of a political hot potato for that to ever happen. But that's what I like to do. I had lunch yesterday with a good friend of mine that I used to coach against for years and years and years, and we've remained really good friends through the years. And I told him, I said, yeah, I still got the fire in the belly. And he says, no, what you're doing is more important. And that's true. That's why I'm stuck here. And I feel like I'm sentenced. I really do. I feel like I have prison cell around me and that I am compelled to do this, and this is my mission calling. And I'm sure you guys must feel the same way.
24/7, Dave. This is what we do. We live this 24/7, and I say that, you know, it's at the expense of our families. It's at the expense of our personal time. And there's nothing to us. There's nothing more important out there than to save, to inform, inspire as many people as possible. And my wife understands this. She, you know, and she says, I mean, we're both of course close in age, and she says, there's never been a time like this, and for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, somebody has got to talk. Somebody has got to say no. You know, no, we can't let this go on. And if it's us, so be it. And I think that's, and again, that kind of circles back around to what we're doing, you know, being a force multiplier out there in the media, the alternative media, although I detest that designation. I think it's a very pejorative designation and description, the alt-right, whatever that is, but in the independent media, the truth media. But again, this is what we need to do, and we're doing it, and I think we are changing the hearts and minds of people all over the, not just the United States, but all over the world. So, and if we can avert something, I mean, in the larger, grander scheme of things, my goodness, if we could get enough people to be paying attention where the globalists wouldn't dare do something, oh, wouldn't that be great? And I think we've got that possibility now more than ever.
Yeah, and I don't want to rain on that parade because that's a sentiment I share, and it's one I hope for. But you remember, Doug, when you were writing about Rosebud and I had my FEMA friend go into hiding with like-minded people? One of the final things he told me, that if they can't get the country the way they want, they're going to use chemical and biological weapons. And in that, our numerical superiority loses a lot of its sting.
Yeah, you know, I had a meeting with a guy. I can say this now. Last week, he just came back from Kuwait. He's in the military, actually a military subcontractor, former military. But he said virtually the same thing. He said, watch for asymmetrical warfare here domestically, and it being blamed on ISIS, but it actually being a false flag to call the population and also to subjugate the population to a greater class of police state, a greater police state. And, yeah, I mean, kind of echoing what your sources have said.
Are you saying that this individual said that this is a plan in the works to do this and blame ISIS?
It's a plan. That's all he said. It's a plan. Whether it's in the works, I don't think he knows, because the discussion that we had, there's more than one plan. There's more than one, you know, there's multiple plans. And we don't know who's calling the shots with any degree of specificity, but we know that there are people out there who can go in many different directions, perhaps simultaneously. Maybe it is not sure he does either.
That's a really, really interesting point. And it dovetails in, at least it partially dovetails in reports that have crossed my desk regarding the fact that in the Nevada desert, the DOD is painting up planes with Russian colors on it. Anybody else smell a false flag?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's the you know, when we look into the false flags of the past, that is one of the favorite tactics that they've used. And what was it, Operation Northwoods, that released the plans to do the same thing with Cuba? I believe that was back in the 60s, where they talked about painting planes up as Cuban planes and attacking Miami in order to get into a conflict with Cuba. And I believe that was around the time of the Cold War was beginning.
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure the Dave, you probably know. I'm not sure if it was Northwoods or not, but it was.
Yeah, it was
certainly on the table, right? I mean.
Yeah, well, that was Northwoods. Yeah, in fact,
okay.
A lot of people made those comparisons to 9/11 when they occurred. Many people did.
My word! And look how far we've gone from. You know, speaking of 9/11, I mean, look how far we've traveled from 9/11, 2001 to today. The ground that we lost as patriots, as conservatives, as you know, and what the globalists have gained—it's just incredible. And much of that can be laid at the feet of George W. Bush, as much as Obama. And we have to, and I think this is important. I think we have to understand that there's, you know, there's no more Republican and Democrat parties anymore. There's the uniparty of the globalists versus the conservatives or the nationalists. And I don't really like the word nationalist because it has negative connotations to it, but, the conservatives, the constitutionalists, perhaps is a better term. But I think that this is what we're seeing. I think that the constitutionalists right now, which is us, is what, 3-4% maybe of hardcore true constitutionalists fighting the globalist machinery that's so entrenched. You know, it's. And that addresses also what we were talking about earlier. You know, what would be the blowback, if any, if we lost in terms of the election? I mean, what, you know, would there be any kind of, especially if it was absolutely, you know, obviously gamed? And I think we're going to see that coming up. But you know, what are we going to do? But we have to formulate a game plan here. If it's stolen from us, and it's evident and it can be proven, I think that we have to determine what we're going to do.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do, and in fact I called for this today on a podcast to be released later this evening, it's time to actually boycott the mainstream media. But not just boycott them. I mean, go on there briefly, see who is sponsoring them, and then write to them and tell them why you're not buying their product and you're not listening to these people anymore. They can't make you turn it on and watch it. They can't make you listen on your car radio. It's time we shut them down.
Yeah, what you just said about, you know, is really important, not only shutting them off and looking into things ourselves, is the sponsor end of things. You can really do a number on a person if you go after their sponsors, and that's one, and two, that they see a change, a significant change in the numbers from that point. You can't just go after the sponsors, because at this point, you know, they're in it to win it. But if there was, let's say, like a 25-50% drop off in viewership, you would see things starting to change, whether it was personnel inside a network to sponsors that they use.
Well, even the NFL show up and die.
Even the NFL seeing you know, ratings decrease by, you know, 15-20%, and they're already putting reports out there that they might have to pay some of their advertisers money because because of the decrease in viewership. And if that's the case for the NFL, except for MSNBC and maybe CNN, as MSNBC is a branch of GE, which is a branch of the government, which, you know, there's no end to the funding they'll get. But for the rest of the privately owned or semi-privately owned networks, well, I guess they're not privately owned, that will tell you, I mean, if everybody stops watching the media, I believe for the most part it would still continue because, you know, the people who fund this stuff have endless amounts of money.
The state's got to still have a voice.
But, right, you have to try.
Yeah. But you know what I've been seeing too, Dave, is have you noticed and have people noticed the number of people who have been disrupting the Clinton, whether it's Bill or Hillary?
Or the president.
Or, yeah, even Obama coming out, you know, Bill is a rapist or whatever. You know, whatever interruption they would use, but that's been on the rise, and I think they're getting really hacked off. You know, at the those people who are provoking the actors, the perpetrators of the interruptions, and when I say, you know, hacked off at the source, I'm talking about InfoWars, for example. They're noted for, you know, Hillary for prison 2016. The alternative media, the new media, we're responsible for a lot of these interruptions. But I can see the seething the reactions from these globalists. So, you know, I do believe that we're in the crosshairs, collectively and individually, of the globalists. So it's going to get dicey out there. But we need to keep the pressure on.
Well, a couple things. I have a couple thoughts on what you just said. And I think you said it very well. Your show draws more people than Wolf Blitzer, the established media. And my website beats the hell out of him. And we're going to overtake him here with our show, too. I mean, we're working on that aspect. But, I mean, here we have instances where you're listening to three broadcasters right now who, in effect, have a greater reach than their lead guy. For morning and afternoons. We have better reach than they do. The worm has turned. And then when you add the fact that 65% of the people under the age of 40 get all their news digitally, they're done. They are finished. They can't make us listen. They can take away our venue. Now, we'll go to a substitute venue, but they can do that, guys. But they can't make us listen. And you know, Jim Maher said it best on my show about 4 years ago. Turn the darn TV off. And he's right.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and again, that's why I think we all have to be smart about this. And thank God, really, for your broadcast and your website. And I'd like to think we know we have a position there as well. And when we combine forces and we push it forward. I mean, this is what we've got to do because we can never give up. We've got to, in fact, we have to double down and double down again and double down again and just keep that motor running and keep that force against the globalists because we can win on the numbers. If, I mean, for crying out loud, we can win on the numbers. Those alone. So
yeah, it's
kind of
like if the globalists gave a party and no one came. I mean, that's what we need to really, you know, strive towards. But, you know, when we look at what's going on today and what needs to happen to change things, I think we need to be mindful of one really important thing. I've had some people close to me, names that might be familiar to audience, say, you know, I think Trump's going to lose. Well, he might because of hook and crook, but not because of the people and not because of the locker room talk issue. I don't believe that, and I'll tell you why. The leadership who wants the free trade agreements and get their pockets greased while they're in Congress from these corporations that benefit from that and illegal immigration, they never wanted Trump anyway. We know how they were against him in the primary. The leadership has jumped ship on Trump. Do you know what, guys? No one I talk to, including women, have changed their idea about who they're voting for. And it's just propaganda from the other side designed to discourage us so for Trump supporters, we stay home and don't go vote.
And I can't see that happening in this election. People not voting, I don't understand why they would.
Well, you know what?
That.
When I go to the polls, if I see a blue helmeted guy there, I'm going to go up and kick him in the shin, or worse. These people do not belong in our elections. And I'm telling you, if you see a blue helmet, this might be a little extreme, but I think it's hunting season.
Believe me, if I see it, yeah, yeah, you're doggone right. I mean, I'm sorry, get the hell off my property. I consider the United States of America my property. I'm a citizen. Yeah, I'll just stop there. You know where I'm going with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you trespass on my property, I'm going to do what I have to do to get you off of my property. And if you're a foreigner and you think you're going to supervise anything that we're doing as Americans, think again. That ain't going to happen. You know, we tarred and feathered the tax collectors after the Stamp Act, before the revolution. You UN people better watch out. Guys, tell us how we can listen to your show. And Doug, briefly, we got about a minute. Tell us how they can get a copy of your book.
I'll just say this. Thank you for that. My book is available at stainedbyblood.com or Amazon. The title of the book is Stained by Blood. Folks, thank you so much. It's actually sold over 12,000 copies, and I'm just excited. It's Stained by Blood. It's available on Amazon.com and Kindle, or if you want a personalized autographed copy, just go to stainedbyblood.com.
Okay, and your show runs here on this great network, Global Star Radio Network, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, correct?
Yeah, 7 to 10, Monday through Friday. And folks can go to Hagman and Hagman.com for show information and HagmanReport.com for our website and content.
Okay, wow. This is maybe the quickest hour I've ever had. Before I let you guys go, just let you know, Hagman's and Hodges here every Sunday. And we're going to have a pre-election special the 6th of November, Steve Quayle for 2 hours, and the Hagmans. And
Mark
will be just here to get us in and out of the breaks.
Mark your calendars, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. Guys, we got to scoot. You're terrific as always. Listen to their show. They know what they're talking about. We'll see everybody back here in hour number 2.